Well, I thank Chad and Shelby for allowing me the opportunity to speak tonight. Chad was going to speak for Shelby, and then I was going to speak for Chad, and then they both showed up. Well, let's see, Shelby's here, Chad's here. They both showed up, so I'm not sure what all that's about. But anyway, you got me. How many of you have ever just kind of walked around Books A Million out there and noticed all the different titles on the shelves, the different sections that you can choose from, sports, fiction, nonfiction, biographies, autobiographies? I think the biggest section in there, and I'm not certain if it's the biggest, but looks like to me is the section on self-help. That's a big section in the bookstore, and I imagine not just Books A Million, but every bookstore you can walk in, and that's a big topic in today's society, I think. Self-help, inner power, the power that we all have within ourselves. That's the kind of buzzwords of today. And all those books tell you how to tap into that. And at first, we as Christians might frown upon self and self-reliance and things like that. And I would certainly agree that we as Christians don't need to look at self from the standpoint of self-reliance. Otherwise, we would never need to rely on God, would we? So from that standpoint, I would agree that that's not a topic that Christians would put a lot of stock into. So with that being said, though, we do need to look at what a Christian's attitude is towards self. So tonight I want to talk about a topic that's near and dear to all of us, self. Webster's New Collegiate Dictionary defines self as an individual considered as an identical person, a being regarded as having personality, a being in its relations to its own identity. There's quite a lot of a bit said about self in the Bible. And we need to look at those things because that one will not do the proper thing with self if their attitude is not right regarding self. So in tonight's time that we have together, that's what I want to look at. I want to look at some topics regarding self and the Christian's attitude towards self. First of all, self can be a Christian's greatest enemy, can it? Turn with me over to James chapter 4. Let's look at verse 7. James 4 and verse 7 says, "Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you." So if we do not conquer self, then it's impossible for us to resist the devil. Over in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4, it says, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." So there would be no victory over the world then if we give in to self. So we have to conquer that. Self is the only thing that can separate us, separate the Christian from God. Let's look over in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, picking up in verse 31. "What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Notice there in verse 38 and 39, what's missing from those verses there that can separate us from the love of God? It's self, isn't it? It's us. That's missing in there. So therefore, if that's missing in there, then that means that we can separate ourselves from God. Over in John chapter 10, let's read verses 27 through 29. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. The beautiful truths in these verses cannot be realized if self gets in the way. We can't adhere to those beautiful things that Jesus said in there about keeping us. Failure to recognize that self can be an enemy makes it all the more powerful and far more deadly than other enemies. Self, in this sense, must be defeated. A Christian's attitude toward self must also be one of proper evaluation. Do we really see ourselves as we are? Do any of us like to truly reflect on the person that we are? Are we honest with ourselves about who we are? We should not think of ourselves, we should not think too highly of ourselves, should we? Romans chapter 12 and verse 3 is the first verse we'll look at to show that point. Romans 12:3 says, "For I say, through the grace of God, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." And then over in Proverbs chapter 16, let's look at verse 18. The writer there says in verse 18, "Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before the fall." We don't need to be prideful people. We don't need to think more highly of ourselves than we ought to. We've got to look beyond that. We should also know and prove ourselves. Turn over to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians 6, verses 3 and 4. "For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another." We should make constant self-examination. Look over in 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Second Corinthians 13 and verse 5 says, "Examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates." Galatians 6 and verse 1 tells us that we should consider ourselves. "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness." Why meekness? Because we need to consider thyself, lest we be tempted. We can be tempted just like the other guy. A lot of times, we don't see ourselves as the person that being tempted. We look at other people's faults. It's easy to look at other people's faults. It's easy to hear a sermon and think about the person sitting next to you, or I hope they're listening, when we're the ones that need to be listening. And self-examine. We need to consider ourselves. We should esteem others better than ourselves. Philippians 2 and verse 3 tells us that. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. A poor example of someone who didn't esteem others is found in Luke chapter 18, in the story about the Pharisee. Let's look over in Luke 18. Verses 9 through 13 with me. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Jesus saying there, two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And let's read verse 14 there. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. We don't want to be like the Pharisee there, looking at the faults of the other person, when it turns out the other person was actually had the right attitude. Let's don't be the Pharisee. Let's examine ourselves. Let's give ourselves proper evaluation, no matter how painful it might be sometimes. We need to have self-examination to make sure that we're right in God's eyes. In the first point tonight, we mentioned conquering self. Christians should possess the attitude of conquering self. Let's look at some ways that we can conquer self. Let's look at what's involved in that. First, we can conquer ourselves by denying self. Let's turn over to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew 16, starting in verse 24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? If we want to save our lives, and we want to follow Jesus, then we've got to deny self to do that. What's it mean to deny self? Well, it means once you choose to follow Jesus, you're no longer going to do what you want to do. Your attitude is, Lord, show me what you want me to do. That's what I'm going to do from here on out. Now, if your will and the Lord's will coincide, not a problem. The problem comes when the Lord wants you to do one thing, you want to do another. And that tears at you, and we certainly don't want to go the way that we're thinking. We don't know best. We've decided to follow Jesus. We've got to deny self. If we haven't denied self, we're likely to follow what we want to do instead of what the Lord wants us to do. Could this be the reason that some have never become Christians? Could this be the reason that some Christians fall away? If you're not denying self, it could be easy to fall away, couldn't it? Trouble comes when we do what we want to do. We have to deny ourselves. Denying self or conquering self also involves not living just for self. Look over in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 4. Philippians 2, verse 4. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. And then in Matthew 5, verses 46 and 47. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans do so? If we're living for self, then we're really always looking for what we can get out of something. And it's not easy, it's not hard to love somebody when you're getting something out of it. What it's talking about there is doing those things for others even when you're not going to get something out of it. So there, even the publicans can do that. We can't live just for self. What do ye more than others, it says there in verse 47. Selfishness is one of the great curses of this earth. How many problems in this world could be avoided if everyone exhibited selflessness? What marriages would fail if all husbands and wives lived a selflessness life? If we put others first, it wouldn't fail, would it? It'd be impossible. The selfish individual confers a blessing on the world when he dies. I say that's kind of harsh. When the selfish person dies, he's actually bringing a blessing upon the world. Look over in Luke, in chapter 12. Luke 12, starting in verse 15, and we'll read through verse 21. It's a parable of the rich fool. And he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say unto my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall these things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. Conquering self also involves not deceiving self. We can deceive ourselves in many ways, can't we? When we talked about a while ago, not wanting to take that look at ourselves, that long, hard look at ourselves, we can deceive ourselves by not doing that. We can look in the mirror physically and see hair out of place, and maybe we've got a little bit of food on our mouth right there, and we look at it, you know, yeah, still look pretty good, though. And leave, right? Don't do anything about it. We can deceive ourselves. Conquering self involves not deceiving ourselves. What are some ways that we cannot, or what are some ways that we deceive ourselves? Well, we can deceive ourselves when we say that we have no sins. Look over in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Let's look in verse 9 and 10 as well. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. So if we say that we have no sins, then we're deceiving ourselves, and not only are we deceiving ourselves, we're doing something much worse. We're calling God a liar. We can also deceive ourselves by hearing and not doing. Look over in James chapter 1. James 1, verse 22. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Like we talked about a while ago, physically looking into a mirror and seeing something out of place and not doing anything about it. When we look into the perfect law of liberty, which is God's word, using it as a mirror, seeing our reflection in it and how we match up, and seeing problems there, things out of place, but we don't do anything about it, then we're deceiving ourselves. We can think we're something when we're not. Look over in Galatians 6 and verse 3. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. How many of us think a little too highly of ourselves? How many of us think we're in good standing with the Lord, but we're not? How many of us have deceived ourselves, maybe knowing that something doesn't add up when we look into the perfect law of liberty, but choose not to do anything about it? Another way that we can deceive ourselves is forgetting that we reap what we sow. We're told in Galatians 6, there in the same chapter we're in verses 7 and 8, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. We need to remember that we will reap what we sow. If it's evil, it'll be evil. If it's good, it'll be good. But we can't deceive ourselves by ignoring that simple fact. Conquering self also involves learning self-control. Look over in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 27. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I preach to others, I myself should be cast away. It's easy for us to preach to others, to talk to others about their problems. But the writer here talks about keeping himself in subjection, keeping his body under control, lest he be that person. We must practice self-control. Over in Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 7, you can find that same sentiment. Colossians 3, verses 1 through 7. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members, which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake wrath of God cometh upon the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walk sometimes, when you live with them. We must practice self-control. We are to add self-control as part of the Christian life, as we find in 2 Peter, verses 1 through 6. We're familiar with that verse. But we must add self-control. It also involves cleansing ourselves. Look over in 2 Corinthians, chapter 7. There in verse 1 it says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Also over in James chapter 4 and verse 8. says, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. And then also in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We must cleanse ourselves. Finally, it involves saving ourselves. Of course, we're not talking about here that we can save ourselves in the sense that God saves us through Jesus Christ. But I think you'll see what I'm talking about when we read the next couple of passages. Look in Acts chapter 2. In verse 40. We're all familiar with Acts chapter 2, and especially there around verse 35 through the end of the chapter. But in verse 40, he says, and with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. They had just asked, when discovering that they were guilty of crucifying Christ, what they must do. And that's where Peter told them to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. But then there in verse 40, he's talking about save yourselves. So, I don't want us to think, if we just isolated verse 40, that means that we have power to save ourselves. What that simply means is that we ourselves can choose to do what Peter told those people to do there in verse 38. And then also over in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 16. Timothy is told to take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. So, he can save himself there by taking heed unto the doctrine and continuing in that doctrine. So we must do that. The verse that Stone read for us earlier, I think, is the best conclusion that I could give for the sermon. There in 1 John 5:18, where it says, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. So the idea of self-reliance, like we talked about to start with, is not what I wanted you to get out of this lesson, other than the fact that we can't be self-reliant. We must rely on God. But self does play an important role in Christianity, as we can see from the points we made tonight. We need to remember that self can be our greatest enemy when it gets in the way. We need to remember that we need to give ourselves proper evaluation. We need to look at ourselves as we really are, no matter how hard that may be. We must conquer self. Whether it's an easy thing or not, it can be done. We wouldn't be told to do it if it couldn't be done. We need to conquer self. And we need to rely on God. So, when you're giving thought and self-evaluation, let's remember that what we read about the Word of God being the perfect law of liberty. Use God's Word as a mirror to look at your reflection in. See how you add up. See how you measure up. And remember, looking in that mirror doesn't do any good if you see things out of place and you just walk away from it. It doesn't do any good if you find yourself out of line with what God wants you to do. Like we talked about, selfishness and those things that keep us from doing what God wants us to do. Self is the only thing that can keep us from God. It may be why you've never decided to become a Christian. Too much pride. You may have seen what God's Word says about something that you're doing, and because of pride, because of wanting to do what self wants to do, you've chosen to ignore it. You may be that person who, in times past, has become a Christian, who put on the name of Christ, who decided, I'm going to do what you want me to do, Lord. And then self gets in the way somewhere along the way and causes you to fall away. You could be either of those people. You may need to do something about that tonight if you're the one who is falling away. Only you may know about it. You need to get right with God tonight. You have that opportunity at this very moment. You have that opportunity to do that, you know, privately with God. If it's something of a public nature, it's something you need to take care of tonight here publicly before you leave. But if you've never become a Christian, then you have that opportunity now as well. And this may be your only opportunity. We're not promised anything past now. So if you haven't given yourself proper evaluation, proper self-evaluation, I urge you to do that, no matter how hard it may be. And if you need to do something about your sins, I would urge you to do those things tonight, as this may be the only opportunity that you have. Baptistry is prepared. We know that God tells us that upon hearing His Word and believing in it, that we need to take action. And that action needs to be one of repentance, repenting of those things, turning away from those things, being willing to confess that Jesus is the Son of God, and then being baptized to walk in newness of life. You can do those things tonight, and I urge you to do so if in any of these ways you need to do it tonight. Just whether we come, stand and sing.